continue our series in the Old Testament, and today we're going to talk about Jacob the cheater. Our text will be Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore to this day the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Father, you said, "As the snow and the rain do not come back to you, but accomplish what you send them to do, so it is with your word." I thank you for that assurance that we have this morning. Father, I ask today that hearts be changed, that lives be changed, that seed is planted, that you would rebuke any spirits who are here, Lord, to descend, to cause dissension or disruptions, and who would try to steal the word when it's been planted. Soften our hearts, Lord. Speak to us from heaven. Warn us and encourage us. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Finish this sentence. If I could have blank, then I would be happy. Some people say, if I could just have this person, then I'd be happier. If I could have more money. I was told one time, or read one time, that J.D. Rockefeller, I believe, was asked how much money would be enough. He was one of the richest men on earth, and his reply was, "Just a little more." Some people think that fame will make them happy, careers will make them happy, money could make them happy. You know, there's just so many things you can fill in the blank with. And the fact is, there is a void within each of us, an empty spot, and only God can fill it. You can try to fill it with things. You can get those things. Some people do. They get the things they think would make them happy, the person that would make them happy. And after a while, they realize it doesn't fulfill them. We're going to talk today about a man who wanted something so much that he lied and cheated to get it. And once he got what he thought he wanted, he realized how empty his life was. This man's name is Jacob. For Jacob, the thing that he thought would make him happy was to have the rights of the firstborn. Jacob was one of the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. She became pregnant, and it said the baby struggled inside of her, and she went and inquired of God and said, "What's going on here?" And God said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." In this culture, the firstborn had the rights of the firstborn. They usually got double the inheritance. They also got to take care of mom and dad when they got older. But if there was a farm, he got the farm. He got most of the money. Mom and dad provided for the other kids in the inheritance, but the eldest got the best of it. So Jacob wanted the rights of the firstborn. And it seems like from what we heard here, when God talked to their mother, Jacob was going to get it. He said the elder child will serve the younger. when they were born, the first one to come out was red and hairy. Said he was hairy like a hairy garment, and so they named him Esau, which means hairy. Not H-A-R-R-Y, but H-A-I-R-Y. He was hairy, and they named him Esau, and it said the second baby come out, and he grabbed him by the heel, grabbed Esau by the heel, so they named him Jacob, and that means he who grabs by the heel, or he who deceives. So that's not a very flattering name. And when the midwives delivered him, when he grabbed the heel, they said, well, you're a cheater. And that's what it means in our language, cheater, deceiver. So here these two boys come out. Esau's the oldest, Jacob is the youngest. Well, as they grow, the Bible says that Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. Now, parents, we tend sometimes to have a favorite child, even though we lie to our kids and say, none of you are my favorite. I love you all the same. But deep down, there's one you have a bond with. Same way with grandchildren. You love them all, but some of them are just more special to you. And it says Jacob was a plain man. He was a tent dweller. Today's vernacular, we'd say he was a mama's boy. Jacob stayed close to the house. He wasn't adventurous. He didn't like getting out and running around. In fact, he learned to cook, and Rebekah just loved him to death. Esau was a mighty hunter. The Bible said he became a skilled hunter. He was a man of the outdoors. Esau was the kind of man that even had camouflage pajamas. I mean, he was just into hunting. Everything about him was hunting. He liked being outside. Well, Isaac loved him for that. And it said Esau was Isaac's favorite. Now, you know in a family this is going to cause problems. When you have the favorite and you dote on the favorite and the other kids see it, there's going to be contention there. Well, it says one day Esau was hunting, and he came in and he was exhausted, and Jacob was cooking red stew. And Esau said, let me have some of your stew. I'm starving to death. You ever notice how we really implicate things that aren't true sometimes? You ever had your kids say, what's for supper? I'm starving. And you look at them, they got a little gut hanging over their belt, and you can tell they're not starving. You're hungry, but you're not starving. But we like to put that emphasis on, I'm starving. I need to eat now. And Esau was impulsive. He come in, and Jacob's cooking that stew, and boy, that stew smells good. And you know when you're hungry and you've been out all day, anything smells good that's cooking. And his belly's rumbling, and he comes up to Jacob, and he says, give me some of your stew. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. Now, that was a terrible thing for him to ask, but Esau does something more terrible. He said, what is a birthright to me? I am about to starve to death. So Jacob said, swear to me that I have your birthright. And it said, Esau swore, you have the place of the firstborn. And he ate some bread and some stew, and he went on his way. Phase one. Jacob was a plain man, but Jacob was very shrewd. And he knew that Esau was impulsive, and instead of doing the brotherly thing and saying, well, brother, here, eat some stew. Well, I wouldn't charge my brother. Jacob saw his chance. God had said that he was going to get the rights, so he thought he'd help God out a little bit. Esau promised me your birthright. Esau said, I swear. Now phase two comes into play. Isaac, their dad, was getting old, and he was blind. And he called Esau to him, and he said, son, I want you to go out and hunt game and make that dish that I love. He said, then I'll bless you. See, that was the practice of the father. He would pronounce blessings on his children. How come we don't do that today? Have you ever set your children down and blessed them in the name of the Lord? We don't do that, especially in the Western culture. You know, we got these nice thoughts for them, but I wonder how that would affect our kids if we'd sit down and say, may the Lord bless you. I've been praying about this in your life, and I pray that God's going to bless you. Isaac said, Esau, go out and get this food. Cook that meal that I love, and then I want to bless you. Well, Rebekah heard it. So she went to Jacob, and she said, here's what you got to do. you need to go out and get me two kids from the flock and slaughter them, and I'm going to cook that meal your dad just loves. She said, put Esau's clothes on and take the meal to him, and you'll get the blessing. And Jacob said, He said, he'll know I'm not Esau, and I'll get cursed. And she said, let your curse come on me, son. You just do what I say. So she makes the food. Jacob gets him Esau's clothes, and she takes the goatskin and ties him around his wrist and puts one around the back of his neck. Now, to me, that's nasty. A fresh, bloody hide. But she does that, and he takes the food to him, and he says, Father. And Isaac says, who are you? He said, I am Esau, your firstborn. And Isaac thinks something's up. You know, I'm blind, but I ain't deaf, and that does not sound like Esau. He said, is that really you? He said, yes, Father. He said, God's granted me success in the hunt. Here's the food. Get up and eat and bless me. So he served his dad the food. He gave him some wine. Didn't hurt a little bit to get dad a couple glasses of wine in him, you know, before he blessed him. People that's had a few glasses of wine are a little more generous sometimes. And Isaac's still not convinced. He said, come here and kiss me. Now, you know Jacob's thinking, oh, man, the deal's up. But it said when he leaned in and kissed him, Isaac reached up and felt his hand in his neck, and he said, well, the voice is Jacob's. But he said, those clothes are Esau's. I recognize the smell. And it said he blessed him. And he made him lord over all of his brothers, and he gave him the mastery over the whole clan. And it said Jacob had barely got out of the room when Esau came in and said, rise up and eat, Father. And Isaac said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. It said Isaac began to tremble. He said, well, who was that that was just here because I blessed him? It said Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And he said, Father, don't you have one blessing for me? Isaac said, what could I give you? I gave your brother everything. It said Esau wept out loud and said, Father, please bless me. And Isaac said, you're going to be separated from all peoples. In other words, he said, you're going to be against everybody, and everybody's going to be against you. God's going to make you a nation. But he said, Esau, when you get tired of your brother, you'll break his yoke from off your neck. It says in Hebrews, do not let there be a fornicator among you like Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright, and afterwards he could find no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau despised his birthright, and Jacob tricked him out of it, the cheater. And it said, Esau said, didn't you name him right? Said that to his dad, he's cheated me out of my birthright. He cheated me out of my blessing. Esau is understandably upset. And it says that Esau said, when my dad dies, I'm going to kill Jacob. Because see, if he did that, the inheritance naturally fell to him. He would be the surviving heir. Well, Rebecca finds out what Esau said, and she said, son, you need to leave town for a while till your brother cools off. So Jacob gets up and he leaves. And the first night he's out, he has a dream. And he sees angels going up and down a ladder. And he sees the Lord standing at the head of the ladder. And the Lord introduces himself. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, and I am the God of Isaac. And he said, I will be with you. I will bless you. I will make your descendants many. They'll inherit this land. And I'm going to bring you back to your dad's house. And I notice one thing missing in all that. God doesn't say, I'm your God. He said, I'm the God of your granddad, and I'm the God of your dad. Why wasn't he Jacob's God? Because Jacob hadn't asked him to be his God. Jacob hadn't made up his mind yet who he wanted to follow. All Jacob had on his mind was, I know what I want in this life, and I'm willing to step on people to get where I'm going. And he proved it by what he did to his brother. And he tricked his dad. And it said Jacob woke up and he was very afraid. And he said, God's in this place and I didn't know it. So he said a prayer and he said, God, I'll make a deal with you. You bring me back safely home. And he said, you'll be my God. And he said, everything you give me, I'll give you a tenth. And then he left. Well, he goes to his uncle's house named Laban. And Laban wrote the book on deception. Laban was a cheater, a deceiver, what we might, some of us might call an old horse trader from way back. And as Jacob gets to his uncle's house, he tells his uncle who he is. He talks about the family, and Laban says, you are my flesh and blood. Said he stayed with him a month, and he's working for him. It, you know, room and board. But Laban says, look, you're my kin. I can't have you work for nothing. He said, what do you want? Well, he had two daughters. Leah, the Bible says, was a plain-looking woman. And Rachel was a very beautiful woman, had a nice form, beautiful face. And Jacob loved her. Love at first sight. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll work for 7 years for Rachel to be my wife. And Laban says, good deal. And it said those 7 years seemed like just a few short days to him because he was in love. Oh, you remember how that is, guys? You get up in the morning, you're thinking about him. You go to bed, you're thinking about him. You just, you get to thinking about it. And Jacob thought, if I could just have her, my life would be complete. So he worked for 7 years. And on his wedding night, his father-in-law switched girls and gave him Leah. And the next morning when he woke up in the light and he saw Leah, he went to Laban and said, what'd you do? I served you for Rachel. And Laban justified his deceit by saying, yeah, but you see, in this country, I can't give the younger daughter before the eldest. That just goes against our customs. You see, God was blessing Laban while Jacob was working for him, and Laban knew it. And Laban is a master deceiver, so he said, I'll tell you what, you serve me for another 7 years, and you can have Rachel. Well, Jacob says, okay. So now he's into this man for 14 years. And it's at this time that Jacob starts to realize that daddy-in-law isn't everything he made out to be. And you got to watch the man. And at the end of 14 years, Jacob goes to his daddy-in-law and says, now let me go home. I've served for my wives, let me go. And Laban said, I don't want to do that. He said, what else do you need? And Jacob said, well, it'd be nice to have some wages. You know, it'd be nice to have something for me. What's in this for me if I stay? And these two deceivers sat down and work out a deal. Jacob said, I'll tell you what. I'll take all the spotted, striped, and speckled sheep and the black lambs. That'll be my wages. Laban said, done. And it says Laban turned around and had his sons drive them sheep about 3 days' journey away so there wouldn't be any of them when Jacob went out and looked at the flocks. So Jacob, he said, well, I can take care of that. God had sent him a dream, and he knew what sheep to pick, so it said he peeled some poplar sticks, and when the sheep were breeding, he'd throw the stick down in front of the strong ones, and they would have speckled, striped, and black lambs, and he got those. It said then he took them, put about a 3-day journey between them and Laban's sheep. See, Jacob wasn't stupid. He said, I'm going to put these out far enough that you ain't going to go get them. And it said when the weaker sheep were breeding, he didn't lay that stick down. Well, one day he overheard Laban's son saying, you know, Jacob's taken everything that was rightfully ours. And it said Jacob decided it's time to go home. He'd worn out his welcome. So he went to his wives and he said, look, God has blessed me, and if it wasn't for the God of my fathers, your dad would have sent me away empty. And he said, I'm ready to go. And his daughter said, well, what inheritance? We don't have anything left. Everything daddy had is yours now. Kind of shows you where their heads was at. Well, before they left, it says that Rachel stole Laban's household gods. Who wants to serve a God that you can carry out in your purse? You know, when I read that, I think, man, you know, these are my gods. Somebody took my gods. They snuck them out in their pants pocket or in their purse. I think Rachel had a real good reason for that because she knew Daddy would chase them down. And they get 3 days away, and somebody tells Laban what Jacob's done. It said he gets his men and he goes after Jacob and he catches up to him. And Laban said, it's bad enough that you took my daughters and my grandkids away, but he said, you stole my gods. And Jacob didn't know who had done what. And he said, I'll tell you what, wherever you find those gods, that person will be put to death. Not knowing it was his favorite wife. Well, Laban didn't find him. And Jacob goes off on Laban. He had served this man for 20 years. And for 20 years he'd been cheated. Jacob had finally got a chance to tell daddy-in-law what he really thought about him. And he let him have both barrels. He said, I have lost sleep. I have slept out in the cold. He said, when your sheep were stolen, you required that from me. I had to replace them with my sheep. If your sheep was torn by wild animals, you took my sheep to replace those sheep. He said, in 20 years, I have served you. You have changed my wages 10 times. And he said, if the God of my father wasn't with me, you'd have sent me out here empty-handed. And I think that as Jacob was chewing Laban out, that for the first time in his self-centered life, he realized how Esau must have felt. He cheated his own flesh and blood. And I think Jacob kind of come full circle and realized, I am the pot calling the kettle black. So Laban and him make a covenant that they won't cross over this pile of rocks to harm each other. Basically, Jacob said, you stay on your side of the fence and I'll stay on mine. And that's how they parted. Now, something you need to think about with Jacob and Laban. It's true, I've heard it said, when you point a finger at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. I can see Jacob chewing old Laban out and just shaking that old finger in his face, and he had three fingers pointing right back at him. You're a deceiver, you're a cheater. Oh, I'm three times a deceiver and cheater you are. They leave and they're going home, and Jacob now, his thoughts are on Esau. You remember Jacob wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted the rights of the firstborn. He got it. He wanted Rachel. He got her. Then he got Leah. Then he got Bilha. Then he got this other one. He had 4 wives, 11 kids, and he was a very wealthy man, but he was a very empty man. On his way home, he sends Esau these gifts. Somebody comes to him and says, your brother's coming with 400 armed men. And Jacob thinks he's going to wipe me out. So he sends gifts of sheep and donkeys and camels, and he sends them in droves, and he tells the servants, put some distance between you. And the first group comes up, and Esau says, who are these? And they say, they belong to your servant Jacob, but he wants you to have it. And he's got 3 or 4 droves, and it says, Jacob prays that night, says, God, you told me that you was going to bring me back here, and you was going to bless me. He said, my brother's coming to kill me, and I'm scared. He got honest with God. He said, I'm scared. And he said, God, I need you to do something. Well, this is where we come in. He says, God of my father Abraham and Isaac, you promised to take care of me. You notice the words that he used? After 20 years, he didn't say, oh my God. Jacob knew God wasn't his God. Jacob knew all about God, but he didn't know him. A lot of people are in that same boat today. A lot of people that go to church, you know about Jesus, but you don't know him. You believe in him, but he's not your Lord. You call yourself a Christian. You believe that you're saved by virtue of your belief in Jesus Christ, but even the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. And Jacob was honest enough in this prayer. He said, oh God of my father Abraham and Isaac. He didn't call God his God because he knew God wasn't his God. And he was one of the covenant children. He was the one God promised to bless, but Jacob could not bring himself to call God his God. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And Jacob was facing annihilation, and he knew he had it coming. He didn't say, this isn't fair. God, wipe Esau out. He's picking on me. Jacob's conscience was tearing him up. He knew he had lied and cheated to get what he wanted. He had everything he thought he wanted, and he was empty. He didn't have peace. And that's the way life is, people. You can kick and struggle and cheat and scheme to get what you thought was going to make you happy, and when you got it, you're not happy. Because as I said in the beginning, there is this void within each of us that only God can fill. We're made in His image. Do you understand? That's why people need to worship something. That's why people make a god out of money or sex or relationships or drugs. Because there's within each of us this need that we need to worship somebody. And Jacob said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, please turn this around. And that's where we came in this morning in the text. It says that night a man came into Jacob's camp. Jacob took his wives and his kids, and he set them on this side of the creek, and he went to the other side to be by himself. And a man shows up. And they begin to wrestle, and they wrestle all night. The scholars and the theologians say they have no problem believing this was God. We say, now how could Jacob win a wrestle match with God? I think it was Jesus, incarnate in the human form, and Jacob wrestled with him all night. I want to give you an analogy of that. That's wrestling in prayer. You know what I like about what Jacob said? It said, come daylight, the man touched his hip and knocked his hip out of socket because he couldn't win. He couldn't beat Jacob. And he said, let me go. And Jacob said, not till you bless me. Do you know God likes it when you pray like that? When I pray like that? God, I'm not going to get out of your face till you bless me. I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. The old timers call that praying through. How God longs to hear that out of His children. When we have sin in our lives, when things dominate our lives that don't belong to Him, God longs for us to call out to Him and say, I'm not going to turn loose to you till you bless me, till you give me the victory over this. Well, the man looked at Jacob and said, what's your name? 20 years earlier, Jacob was asked that 3 times, and he said, I'm Esau. This time he was honest. And he looked at the man and he said, I'm Jacob, the cheater. So the man looked at him and said, not anymore. Now your name is Israel. Israel means he prevails. In this case, it meant you have prevailed against men and God. See, that's what God does in your life. When you come to the point of receiving Jesus Christ, He changes you. And all you were in your past is gone. The Bible says He doesn't remember it anymore. Not because He has a bad memory, but because He's God. And He says, I will make you into a brand new person. And the deceiver had God in a headlock. I just picture He had Him in a headlock. And He says, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. He said, all right, your name's Israel. And Jacob says, what's your name? He said, why does that matter to you? He wouldn't give him his name. And said, then he blessed him. Well, Jacob let go. He named the place Peniel. That means in the Hebrew, the face of God. Jacob said, I know I have seen the face of God, and I lived. And he limped back to camp, and said, the Jews to this day won't eat the sinew that goes across the hip, because that's where God touched him, and it shriveled that sinew up. Well, those of you who have read the story know how it ends. Jacob meets Esau. It says they fell on each other's necks and they wept. Esau said, all's forgiven. You know, God says when a man's ways pleases him, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Jacob got more than he wanted. He just wanted to go home. And he wanted to be reconciled to his brother. And his brother forgave him. and they divided because their goods were so much they couldn't live in the same area. And it said Jacob went to a place and he built an altar to the Lord, and he named it El Elohi Israel. That means God, the God of Israel. That's beautiful. You know, the next time God appears to one of the patriarchs, he said, I'm the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You see, God will not be your God until you permit him to be your God. You can believe in him. You can sing about him. You can pray to him. You can call him Father. But he does not call you son or daughter until you come to him through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And when you come to him, he promises that you'll be a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things will become new. And then and only then, the scriptures say, you may call him Abba, which is Arabic for daddy. Won't you stand with me? All of us have shortcomings and failures. But I want to ask you this morning to ask yourself this question: is God my God? Have you submitted to coming and asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and Savior, and then been immersed in baptism for the remission of sins according to the Scriptures? If not, I want to invite you to come up this morning and sit here on the front row, and we'll talk about that. If you're here this morning and you've gotten away from the Lord and you think, man, I need to get back to God, take care of that before you leave here. Then you can say, God, the God of me, as we sing our song of invitation. Change. You all may be seated. If you need to leave, you can. I understand that. Please just be quiet about it. Go ahead, Jake. Sarah.